Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken in time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
My name is Daniel Garcia, and I am a sports entertainer.
How's it going, everybody? I am Charlie, as always, joined by the ultimate good brother, Duke.
Go fuck yourself.
And today, we got our Wrestle Kingdom 18 post-show coming at you live, man. Like, it's happening. It's fucking ungodly hours here in America. And this is our first ever time doing a Wrestle Kingdom post-show. So, how you feeling, Duke? And just, you know,
as well. Also advertised when the show's not even over yet, 0 out of 10.
Exactly. How are your vibes right now following Wrestle Kingdom 18?
You know, there wasn't a lot of, like, insane matches on this show, I'll be honest. But I think pretty much everything we thought would deliver did deliver. And a few things that we didn't. Also, I think, like, I feel like the things that weren't, like, doomed to fail, minus one, which was, I thought, doomed to fail, but somehow worked, which we'll get into all that. But
a genuine
surprise
on the night, to be honest.
100%.
So, all right, we had the one pre-show, you know, Royal Rumble, fucking Rambo, whatever they call it, match, where Ishimori, Chase Owens, Yano, and Great O'Khan are going tomorrow night for the Provisional King of Pro Wrestling Championship. So, I feel like, for my money, Great O'Khan seems pretty easy to win here. I don't know if there's a name you're leaning towards. Maybe the Bone Soldier. But I
remember talking to you about that during the last couple of shows that we did cover from New Japan last year, which Ishimori has been on quite the streak recently in terms of quality. I mean, you know, he's not a name that I heard a whole ton outside of like a few people. And that was a really, really tight two fall. Sorry.
This as the main event is going. Just
Watched Sonata hit like a really, really close two count. So if I stop in the middle, it's because I'm watching what's happening. But I think Ishimori, I think if you're not going to go with Great O'Khan, that one you could certainly make. I mean, he's definitely had a good run with the junior stuff. I don't know if you want to step him up to that next level or not, but I mean, you know, the KOPW is weird because it's like it's almost like above and below some championships. Jesus Christ, that DDT was insane.
Naito, some of the cleanest fucking head spikes in the biz, I swear to God. But I'm with you there. You know, Taiji Ishimori, I think he ran with an open weight title once, right? And you know what? If we want to kick off the King of Pro Wrestling on a different, you know, put it on a different note, let's start it with the Bone Soldier. So I'm cool with that, too. Our opening match, we had the junior tag titles on the line, where champions Bullet Club War Dogs, our boys Clark Connors and Jolla Maloney facing Catch 22.
Oh, there it is, Charlie.
Francesco
New
Akira.
IWGP champion, Tetsuya Naito.
So I wanted to say off the top of the show, every title changed hands tonight, and son of a bitch, it fucking did. Every single title changed hands. That's incredible. Wow. There you go, Naito. Naito finished the story. He got the main event at Tokyo Dome and win the world championship. Good for him. I thought we opened up on an unbelievable fucking match. TJP has essentially been resurrected from the coffin, which we're kind of doing a little pre-show research and found out essentially they've just been letting these guys do whatever the fuck they want as long as they're in their time slot. So they're having coffin matches for the junior tag titles, and the Aswang has been born. The new titles are fucking awesome looking. I was getting some Finn Balor vibes from Francesco Akira with his green paint. Thought that was really neat. Rocky was on as a guest commentator for English, and he did a great job all night kind of interjecting, you know, maybe certain thoughts that we wouldn't have had because we're not backstage. And one of the things he said that really stuck with me is he had the vibe that Bullet Club War Dogs were not taking this serious. You know, they're drinking at the press conference. They probably showed up to this match a little hungover. They don't even know if TJP is going to fucking arrive, you know? I felt like right away going into this match, the vibes were extremely high. Like, you could feel the energy in the building, right? Like, people were excited. I don't know if it was the opening punch, but Drilla got bloody right away. TJP was changing up his wrestling style a little bit. He was a little more ground and pound with this mask on. There was a really sick fireman carry into a spear from Connors and Drilla. Drilla and Akira had some fun one-on-ones. Clark Connors hit this incredible suplex on Akira. And then I like to call it the Pentagon spot, where Akira hit this running Canadian fucking destroyer, where he jumps off of TJP's back. Just overall great spots. I thought they really brought the energy. TJP hit a blood mist, and it set up the new champions, which was their third reign. So there was an incredible line by Chris Charlton where he said, "TJP is a loyal creature who will never hurt his friends." So,
yeah, TJP is now a dog confirmed.
He got that dog in him. Confirmed.
Yeah, I'll just talk about this a little bit. I don't think the mask thing, like, so I was talking to you about this throughout the whole thing. Like, I don't think it super worked for me. However, if it's not going to be like a regular thing, I don't think it'll be that big of a deal. It was cool for what they did with it, but if it's like now a gimmick, I don't know. Like, Japan is weird with that stuff sometimes. So hopefully it was just like as playing into the story of what with the coffin, like you were saying. Like,
He looked really cool in the post conference without the mask. So.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that's a good sign. Yeah. But
I'm with you on the mask thing. I don't think we need to see TJ.
But dude, the War Dogs, since the last time we fucking saw them, dude, oh my god, do they look like fucking stars, dude. Ugh. Like, I cannot wait to see what they do with them next. And just coming out of this with Catch 22 as tag champions, I think is a really good look for the junior tag division going forward in general. But I mean, those two guys just looked phenomenal out there, especially even in the white gear, which in turn had to be a curse for some people on this night, but you know.
Yeah, fucking don't wear white, apparently.
Yeah, Tokyo Dome doesn't like the white gear, apparently.
Naito's got a pretty brutal cut above his eye, Jesus.
Yeah, I saw that. I turned off the stream just about a few minutes ago, but like...
Buddy's gashed, eh?
Yeah, he was, they threw a towel over him. He was fucked up. I don't know what happened there, but...
Our second match on the card, we had the New Japan World Television title. And I thought this was a pretty good match. Zach strikes are always so fucking good. Whenever they did counter wrestling together, it just flowed so well. And I think that's just, you know.
I just realized in storyline, it literally took a guy making himself president and giving himself a title shot to beat Zach.
Yeah. And it feels like that's just a product of Sabre, right?
That feels right.
He laid the fucking mega boom on kicks, and there was a series of pin attempts, and it ended up being the result where Tana stole the dub. I thought Zack Sabre Jr. was booked unbelievably strong, and knowing how they book sometimes, hopefully this means Sabre's on his way to the world championship. Any notes you had on this one? Hiroshi Tanahashi is our second ever television champion.
Weirdly, probably the weakest match in the title reign for Zach. Not anything against Tanahashi. He just doesn't have that, you know, sauce anymore to have, like, those insane matches unless it's, like, you know, main event of a pay-per-view or something. And even then, it's still, like, 50-50. But I think I can't think of a whole lot of other people that could even win over Zach without being, like, an up-and-coming star that needs to, like, get the rub in order to become a star. I think it has to be somebody like this. I know Kana's not coming down to this level, and Naito is obviously not anytime soon. I don't think Sanada or Taichi or any of those other guys, I don't think you're going to move any of those guys into that slot at this time. So it kind of makes sense to put this on Tanahashi, let him wrestle the TV-style, television-style, you know, championship-style matches, which I think that 15-minute time limit probably benefits him more than it will anybody at this point because of, you know, that what I was mentioning.
Hard agree, actually. Hard agree.
It might be the most beneficial for somebody like Tanahashi who's on the back end of their career, you know, like.
And, yeah. Well, it looks like they just set up Naito's first challenger. And it's Evil. My God.
That's a decision.
Wow, that doesn't sound pretty on paper to me. Okay.
Yikes. That might be a fucking stinker of a pay-per-view.
Yeah. We have for our third match, we have a special singles match, Yota Tsuji versus Yuya Uemura. I thought we had some early chain wrestling, and Tsuji just kind of demanded control pretty early on. Any thoughts you had on this match? And I guess two of the four big returnees from Excursion, they got a big prominent singles match where Yuya ends up picking up the victory.
Yeah, huge for Yuya. I think a lot of people were hot about the result on this match. It is a Japanese wrestling match, so I do think, unlike an AEW where really wins and losses don't matter, I do think this could actually have an effect on Yota. I don't know how much, but I don't know. People aren't completely unfounded for being a little upset because it isn't, you know, it's like if somebody loses in WWE, you're kind of like, fuck. You know what I mean? Like, because you know that there's going to be a while before they ever get that opportunity again. It is kind of the same way in Japan in that way. But I don't think this hurts him that badly. I do think the match delivered in the way that it needed to for both guys' careers, though. I don't think this is going to be the match where you look back and one of them derailed after this because of how things went, you know, like, and nobody's going to be like upset with the match itself, just maybe the result. So beyond that, though, there was a couple of spots that I was like, holy shit. And that was there was an anti-air super kick that I think Yota hit at one point. And then he was just hitting these insane combos of his offense back to back that it was just like, I was like, oh, okay, this is where he gets the pin right here, like two or three different times. And he still ended up not winning. And I was just like, it was to me, this is when the matches really started to flow a lot better. Like the opening match was still great. But I was saying to you as this match was about to start, I was like, I feel like we're missing something here. You know, I don't know what it is. And then it started to just kick in from here. And, you know, but there were a lot of ups and downs to this show, I would say. But this, to me, I think was one of the up moments for me. I don't know about you, but.
Agreed. And my bad, if that picked up on the mic, I thought I muted when I blew my nose, and that's on me.
I didn't hear anything. Yeah, so.
But I one of the things that I had to highlight it during their beautiful counters that they have with each other, and that's one of the things that New Japan does so well, right? It feels like every guy watches an excessive amount of tape on each other, and they know each other like the back of their hand. Yota Tsuji countered a fucking pin attempt into a curb stomp that was unbelievable. And you all went with that overhead bridging suplex that's just utterly beautiful. Up next, we have the House of Torture tag versus Katsuki Amai from Noah, as well as Shota Umino. And there were shenanigans were afoot. I thought Shooter had a really incredible spot on the apron against Narita. That was the main moment of this match for me, was Ren Narita and Shota Umino whenever they had.
I got spots. Things to say about this match, man. I don't know. Yeah. Like,
there was plank shit to the head that caused the victory, and Alvarez had a great line. He said it was a House of Torture match. What more do you want?
Nah, I expect more when you have fucking... I'm actually upset about this match, and I'll tell you why, Charlie. Because you have this relationship between Noah that you're just kind of like squandering a little bit through this match, right? Because now that guy has taken a loss in an absolutely ridiculous fashion, right? You also have... Shooter, who's one of your biggest up-and-coming stars, so much so that you've teamed him with John Moxley and made him essentially an honorary Blackpool Combat Club member, and he's getting pinned in the middle of the ring off of some bullshit on your biggest pay-per-view of the year. What the fuck is going on?
And dude, it all lends to that obsession that they have with House of Torture, man. I mean, look, Evil's just challenged this guy for the fucking title. They're going to set up a tag for tomorrow night where Naito and Sonata team with each other and they face Evil and whatever. And, it doesn't make sense to me. I personally am with you. I don't get the House of Torture shit.
Oh, and Ren Narita, who, by the way, is normally fucking a phenomenally standing out in every match, was fucking unnoticeable in this one. He had nothing.
He was just another dude. Like, he had the one, like, yeah, when he had, like, just the one spot with Shooter, but that's it. I'm with you. Usually he's a technical standout.
I don't know.
He just wasn't.
Like, when you compare that to the other two that we had in the previous match, I mean, that is like, how do you fuck that up that badly after you just did that? I just don't.
Well,
I don't know what happened.
Nomura's looking like the future ace now, man.
Maybe this is part of the reason why Tana's in charge now, because of shit like this. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, which brings us to our next title, which there's some news breaking out, you know, as we were watching the show tonight. So the Never Open Weight Championship, Shingo Takagi lost to Tama Tonga. I'll be the first to tell you, I was not looking too forward to this match. I love Shingo Takagi. He's world class. But there's been a lot of Tama Tonga singles matches that I've not vibed with. I vibed with this one. I fucked with a heavy. These were two angry motherfuckers who wanted to beat the shit out of each other. And you felt that during the match. I feel comfortable saying this is my favorite Tama Tonga match. And honestly, I feel comfortable saying I think it deserves a rewatch from me. I don't think I was respecting it the first couple minutes. So, but Tama Tonga, in his press conference immediately following this match, he announces he's leaving New Japan at the end of January 2024. So what the what?
No, they'll have him drop it back to Takagi or somebody else. You know what I mean?
Just to drop it tomorrow night? Like,
I mean, hey, if they wanted to get the title on him one more time before he left, that it makes a lot of sense to me. You know what I mean? It's weird. And maybe that's why they said, hey, just go out and have a fucking crazy match, win the title, and then we'll just take it off you before the end of the month, and you can go on your way. But like you said, really great match. I thought the opening sequence of this match, which I'm excited for you to go back and rewatch, I thought that was where this match really got off on a strong foot for me. I mean, having a strong opening to a match is super key, but I've seen matches that started off super strong and just like shit out by the end, and it ended up being 10 minutes when they were, in my head, like 15, 20-minute matches, you know? This didn't do that, though. I don't even know how long it was. It might not have even been that much longer, over 10 minutes. I wouldn't be that surprised if it wasn't.
Yeah, until the last three matches, not a single match went over 14 minutes.
So there you go. So it was, you know, maybe that's why the show didn't feel like, because I was saying to you throughout, I didn't feel like anything felt like the pace was too, even the stuff that was bad, like the House of Torture
well
stuff.
Show. Very well
it was,
paced.
They got through it quickly enough that I wasn't like that upset with it, you know?
This was no WrestleMania 32, you know?
Oh, Christ. That was a hell of a review.
That might have been the longest wrestling night of my life.
Probably.
It was like combined 8 hours because we watched the whole fucking pre-show.
Yeah.
That was brutal.
But I mean, I really hope Shingo Takagi doesn't just get like pushed to the back now that he's lost this title, you know? It's a very common thing to happen in New Japan where you lose your championship and then, all right, see you in 6 months. What? Okay.
Where the fuck he going? Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Unless you're Okada, I guess.
I love Shingo. Okay. Following that match, we had Nick Nemeth show up with his brother, Ryan Nemeth.
Hey, not something I had on my bingo card for this show, to be honest with you.
If anyone was showing up, I would have had my money on Mustafa Ali because I just thought he fit very well with New Japan. And I forgot to mention this off the top of the show. We are traditionally an AEW podcast. We Eat Sleep Elite is a weekly show that we do. And if you're interested at all in hearing us kind of do a week-to-week thing, you know, it's a great time. We love it. We filmed an award show and for 2023, and the file corrupted. And there's nothing we can do about it. So we are going to re-record that show. It will be out this weekend for everyone. But just a heads up on that. It's unfortunate, but I put out a tweet on our Twitter at Eat Sleep Elite. And we actually posted our first award, which was Duke's Men's Wrestler of the Year, which was MJF. So, yeah, we're still going to go as planned, tweeting, you know, a thing a day. It's just unfortunately we don't have the full audio out now. So. But I guess in 2 years of using this specific, you know, podcast platform, it was destined to fuck us up at least once. So it is what it is. But if you guys were actually looking for that, figured, and maybe you don't follow on Twitter, give you a proper update here. I meant to do that off the top, but
Yeah, Christian Cage hit us with a DDoS attack for not making him Wrestler of the Year. You know, it happens.
Exactly, exactly. So, up next, we have the tag title match with Bishamon and the new Gorillas of Destiny. And there were some funny bits with the titles. Haikuleo pretty much opened this up as the heavy. And, God, the vibe I was getting throughout the match, ELP's got some sauce, man. He was showing off his athletic ability. And Goto has had a truly incredible career. And there were multiple times during this match where I had the thought that, you know, he feels steps ahead of everyone in this match. And Haikuleo ends up pinning Goto, and there's new champs. And, you know, as someone who didn't watch the World Tag League, this is a brand new pairing to me. And, you know, as a first-time pairing, as I'm not the biggest fan of Haikuleo. I mean, the guy had a stinker with fucking Jay White, and to me that's kind of hard to do because I really love Jay White. I thought they worked pretty well as a tag. And, yeah, I mean, let's see what happens next in the tag division. We got the heavyweight war dogs of Coughlin and Gabe Kidd that are fucking incredible. So, yeah, any notes you had on this? New champs, though.
I don't think this one ever really super got going. And
it really didn't, no.
I gotta be honest with you, this tag division super hardly needs to be reset. Like, they need new faces, they need new bodies. The Nemeths are both there. They could be a tag team that wrestles in this tag division and helps to re-inject some life into it. If you can convince the Young Bucks to come back for a couple matches, stuff like that. Like, you need to get some names in here that are going to spice things up, because there's just
the Grizzled Young Vets.
Yeah.
They're available.
Bring TMDK up. You know what I mean? You got to do something.
If we're looking to bring in more people, Mason Madden and Mansoor, it seems like they're doing their thing.
Whoever gets them is going to benefit. That could be, if we didn't already have the Acclaimed, I would be saying get those guys on every show, because I do think there would be a bit of a tough thing, because I think they could be as over and as much of like
an on the mic presence element that the Acclaimed kind of already bring us.
Yeah. So, and yeah. I think you could have them both, but I do think one of them would get pushed to the back. And I think when one's getting pushed, you wouldn't see them both. So I'm not sure if it would, but whoever lands them could have an Acclaimed level of like a fan interaction and involvement and love. And I mean, just look at some of the clips that are coming out of those guys just on the indies right now. Whoever lands those guys is going to be, not to completely remove ourselves, but it is kind of relevant to the New Japan discussion, because they could end up here. Like, yeah, it definitely needs some injection of life though, for sure.
Yeah. So, and as with New Japan, tomorrow on New Year's Dash, they pretty much set up all their major angles for the rest of the month. So, you know, maybe we'll get some inflection of what's happening with the tag titles next. And yeah, that brings us to our New Japan junior tag match, the IWGP junior tag, or the junior singles match, where Takahashi faced off with El Desperado. And, you know, Desperado kind of fell in love with him when we covered We covered the entirety of the junior tag, the junior, super junior tournament. And Desperado fucking match in and match out was just awesome. I love how he worked the legs there, like including just straight up diving on it. Hiromu, his counter wrestling and his smoothness is just truly on another level. And I wrote it fucking twice. I wrote, these fellas are cooking. It felt like the boys were cooking. Despy was beating the piss out of Hiromu with those fucking forearms. And Hiromu hits his fire up sequence, you know? There's a Pinche Loco hit on him for a two count. And then a motorhook Pinche Loco. And then another Pinche Loco. And El Desperado is a three-time champ. Truly a fucking awesome match. And, yeah. What a really, really enjoyable. So,
yeah.
What'd you think of this one?
It's just like, you know, I was saying to you while we were watching this, like, Despy is that old reliable baby face that you can just always put out there, and he's going to have the crowd behind him. He's always going to be over no matter whether he's actually a heel or a baby face in storyline, because we know how that works in Japan. It doesn't always necessarily apply, but like, you know, like there are technically defined heels and faces in Japan, but it's a little bit different. You know what I mean? Like, anyway, the point is, you have that, and you also have Hiromu, who I think might be the most consistent wrestler Japan has right now. And that might be a hot take. I'm not sure, but I just, that's how I feel. I don't think I've ever seen the guy have a bad match. And we watched him have like a shit ton of matches in that tournament. You know what I mean? So like, he's so smooth. Like, they hit this one transition on this move in the corner. I don't even know if it was like a sit out or something like that. But he hit this super smooth transition into a move. And we were both just like, God, it's like, you can't even help but just like fucking, like everything he does is so good and smooth. And it's like, it's so great.
Can't help but just be really fun. And what he does. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it's like a super hard hitting, you know, match as well. Like, I don't even know. Like, I couldn't even take notes on this match toward the end because it was just so well put together.
That's how, like, I felt the next two. Because, yeah. Up next, we had the triple threat for the IWGP Global Championship. It's the inaugural winner, where Will Ospreay faces John Moxley and David Finlay. We opened up with basically the ceasefire was in effect, and it was, it was Captain America Civil War. And it was Will and John Moxley beating the shit out of David Finlay so they could have a true singles match. And it worked for a while. And I think that was a smart booking decision, and it played into effect later throughout the match. But us being an AEW podcast, I just can't help but think sometimes, like, Will Ospreay is going to be fucking full time in AEW, and it blows my mind because of how fucking good he is. He was so good just right away, even when they're doing the Captain America stuff, that was good. And then when he has the 1v1s with Moxley, their chemistry together was untouched. And it's like, what is the future of AEW going to look like with him at the top? It's going to be beautiful because there's so many guys he can face that we've never seen too.
Yeah, but like, throw him against fucking Rey Fenix. See what happens.
Exactly.
Throw him against Vikingo.
So many dudes. I mean, has he even faced Hangman? You know what I mean? Like,
if he has, it hasn't been in a long time.
Yeah. So, all in all, I thought this match was just fucking beautiful. There was a great moment when the War Dogs attacked, and they ended up getting put through a table, but Coughlin didn't go entirely through, so he's just sitting there. That's already one of the best wrestling memes of 2024.
Bro got caught in the table and just sat there. He's like, you know what? This is my home now.
He sold the shit out of it. Dude, I thought Finlay looked good. You know,
this is the best I've ever seen him look, I think.
I know he was very limited compared to the other two, and there were some sequences in this match that audibly made us both like fucking gasp. Like, it was just fucking beautiful, some of the shit they did, including the finish, which, you know, they made it in a way where David Finlay stole it, and that's the vibe they wanted us to get. He's the ultimate fucking heel. And you know, it looks bright for the future of AEW. I know this is New Japan, but having our fucking ace of John Moxley and, you know, Will Ospreay go out there and have this match. But that being said, Finlay had some post-match angles where he's getting in the face of Nick Nemeth. They're beating the shit out of each other, spitting on each other. It goes to the back, and Nick Nemeth has his sights set on Finlay. So I think that's awesome. You want to establish this title? Let's, you know, people are going to be interested in seeing Dolph Ziggler's first match in New Japan, because the fucking,
if they have any balls, they'll fucking put that title on him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're not afraid. But what a match! What an early contender for match of the year until the very next match happened. But
I had all of its hopes dashed immediately after in the next match, but. I echo pretty much everything you said about the match itself. The man getting caught in the table. Pretty much everything you said. Like, there's not much more I can add to it than that. Other than that,
I
on paper, that was the match I was the most excited for, because I thought in my head, if any opportunity for David Finlay to actually prove himself has presented itself, it's against these guys. This is sink or swim. If he doesn't make it work in this match and walks out with that title, he might lose it tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like, no cap. Like, because you can't establish a new championship with a champion that is weak like that. You just can't do that. So this was the match that needed to make him. And I believe that Willard and Jonathan managed to pull that off.
Yeah, it was really enjoyable. Which takes us to the next match. And You know, sometimes
you get in these situations. It's done, everybody. Wrestler of the year for 2024 is going to be Bryan Danielson. There's no chance.
You know, sometimes we get in these situations where a match happens and, you know, you don't want to be like, oh, well, that's one of the greatest I've ever seen right away. Because, you know, everyone kind of tries to downplay that. But I think when you know, you know. And, dude, this was the definition of two of the best living wrestlers doing the fucking thing. Like, they went out there.
I think this is the match we would have had if Bryan Danielson didn't break his arm like 3 minutes into the actual match.
And
they
you know
had
what? Forbidden the broken door, arm fucking played into this one. It's brilliant. And just, I think these are two guys that are, and will be, some of the best to ever do this craft. That's wrestling. And it just, it was special. This is one of the greatest matches I've ever watched. It's one of the greatest matches.
I think if you parsed it just on Japan only, people that are just Japanese wrestlers, they didn't wrestle anywhere outside of Japan. I think I think if even with Liger's history in Japan, I think Okada's got to be that guy, right? And if you do that just for America, it's got to be Bryan, I think, to an extent, unless you go to some guy that was wrestling
even,
in like
the
60s.
You can even say right now, your best Japanese wrestler, especially right now, you know, it's Okada. Your best American wrestler is Danielson. It's like UK, Osprey, Canada, Omega. Like, it really starts to add up and you get a picture of like, these are guys that we finally have this opportunity to have this match. It's at the Tokyo Dome and it was fucking perfect.
Exactly.
It was fucking perfect. I'm in disbelief of the match we just watched. I need to watch it again. Just like Omega and fucking Osprey last year. It's like, when you watch that match, you know you just watched something special. Like, and you can almost change the countries. Like, yeah, this is Okada and Danielson, and like, we just watched it. And it's not too early to say this is going to be the best match this year. It's fucking going to be. And the only way it gets topped is if we feature, you know, two of those other guys we just talked about and either of these two. Like, it's that simple. Like, I got nothing else, man. It was fucking perfect.
I hope we get three or four more Bryan Danielson singles matches in New Japan this year. Because if this is any sign of what he can accomplish.
You know the next one we need to have, right? It's the guy that fucking lost tonight. It's Shingo Takagi. Because my God,
yeah.
If there's another guy he could do the super match with, it's him.
I'd also like to see him fucking tear it up with Hiromu, bro. Can you imagine the match those two would have, dude?
Oh my God, yeah. Because like, you factor in Saber and just how fucking great he is, and
honestly, that's why I want him to have like three or four, because then we can just have him have all the matches, and then all right, now we don't even have to do the G1 because he had too many good matches, and it's fine, you know.
And you know, slight spoiler because the award show's not out. Danielson and Saber was my favorite match of the year last year, so it's like. It's just, it's so fucking beautiful, man. And, you know, sometimes wrestling can be romantic, and we can sit here in this moment and just, you know, it doesn't have to be single things that we're calling out. We can talk about, you know, Danielson's perfect stomps to fucking Okada's head, or how he tried to work the arm for 15 minutes and it finally paid off, even though Okada still battled through and hit that Rainmaker. Like, it's just, it was perfect. I feel like the fucking Homelander meme, dude. Because son of a bitch, man. Like, I'm sitting here right now and I'm thinking, I can't wait to show that match to, like, my sister or my roommate. You know what I mean? Like, I can't wait to show them that fucking match. Fuck, even Brady might need to see that one. He doesn't care for New Japan wrestling. But God damn it, man. He's going to respect that. It was so emotional. Is that fair to say? Is this one of the most emotional fucking focused matches? Is that what made it so beautiful?
I will tell you this, Charlie. The aura around Bryan Danielson as he walked down that super long, which we haven't even talked about how long the fucking ramp
was.
I'm sorry. I don't know why it got on my nerves so much, but the ramp was like a mile and a half long. The ramp was literally in Shibuya, and they were in fucking Tokyo. You know what I mean? Like,
that was one of those WrestleMania ramps that it's a little bit too long. And when you got motherfuckers walking slow, and it's, you know, some people have been up for way too long, or Some people woke up way too early.
Look, man, it was too long of a ramp. Yeah. Like, if we don't get a meme out of Direct Drive fucking just fucking hauling ass down that fucking ramp, I don't know. But, fucking shit was so funny. But no, I mean, the aura around him as he walked down to the ring, dude, it was like this otherworldly thing that we have never gotten before, which is a modern version of Bryan Danielson wrestling in Japan in the Tokyo Dome. I mean,
unreal.
It was unreal. It was something it's something you'll never get to experience again, because we got it, and it's now a moment in wrestling history that we're going to look back on and be like, damn, remember that time?
We're going to be able to watch it forever. And you know
what? Remember that time that Bryan Danielson like ran the Continental Classic and lost, but then had like a fucking banger with everybody in that tournament, and then ended up putting over Eddie Big, and then ended up going to Japan and having an insane match with Okada, and like.
This year
in wrestling history is going to be looked back on, and everyone's going to be like, damn, that was so crazy. It all started with Bryan Danielson versus Okada.
Absolutely. And then, I mean, match of the years. And then our main event where Tetsuya Naito defeats Sonata. And, you know, this was a slow match. This was a focused match. And it was all about telling the feel-good story of Naito finally getting his moment. And he had got the biggest pop of the night during his entrance. And you know what? Sonata had tears in his eyes because of how he was respected, right? So just a really, really feel-good moment here to end the night with Naito winning the championship. And
Do you have any idea what you do with Sonata after this? Like,
I'll tell you what
I feel like. You did make a star out of him, but what do you do with him now? You know, like,
you kind of just let him run his stuff with the team, with the five guys. What's their name? Fuck.
Just five guys.
You kind of let him run the stuff with the team. And then, you know, maybe I can tell you tomorrow he's going to tag with fucking Naito. That's probably a guarantee.
Yeah, that feels like guaranteed, but
yeah, I mean, Sonata had some fun stuff. I think Sonata's elevated his career. And I hope he's one of those guys that we do see him in the title picture every year. You know,
I was about to say, is this one that you run back in a few months when Naito's had a little bit of time with the title?
I don't want to see him going for fucking David Finlay's title in like 3 months.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Because the global championship, I think it needs to establish itself before we get the biggest stars going after it. I think that needs to be Finlay's little toy for a little bit, you know?
That being said, I think the way it works in Japan especially, I think you can have Sonata do tag shit with his guys, and that'll be fun. So,
yeah,
guys, that was it for our Wrestle Kingdom show. I appreciate if you all came around. And hey, if you feel like checking us out more, if anybody wants us to cover more New Japan, like, just let us know, man. We'll cover the Battle in the Valley again this year. If there's people that want us to do it, we got no problem doing this shit. We love talking wrestling, and that's kind of what Eat Sleep Elite's all about. So. If you like checking this out, make sure you hit that follow or subscribe on whatever platform you are on. And as always, shout out the Duke, man. Twitch.tv/TheDukeOfDerbs. And if you ever want to feel like chatting with him while he's streaming. So yeah, we will we'll catch you guys for the award show, because that's going to be our next show now. We have some good awards, to say the least.
Bro, CM Punk hacked in and fucking deleted our podcast. What an asshole.
We had some really fun awards that, you know, even though we're going to talk about them again, it's going to be fun to do. So we'll see you next time with our virtual tuxedo.
QT Marshall hit us with the cease and desist driver.
Yes. You guys take care.